Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
The Mackinac Center for Public Policy is world-renowned for its panels, its discussions about a menagerie of topics, and I know there's an interesting one titled The Future of Unionized Government. Tell me about that.
Well, back in 1965, the state passed a law that had the effect of encouraging government employees to unionize. And what we are doing is we're looking back over the, we've had 45 years of experience with this law. What we found is that it has created unions that have become political players more than they really are worker representatives in the workplace. It has added to the expense of government, made it difficult for school boards and local authorities to run themselves efficiently and effectively and get the best they can for taxpayer dollars. And we've seen that this legislature and legislatures and governors in other states have been very aggressive in addressing problems created by government employee unions. And we're asking whether it's time for the state of Michigan to rewrite PIRA, overhaul it, and if so, what changes need to be made to it?
You know, we've been talking about unions a lot on this program in my more than a year and a half here, and the question is always brought up, do we need unions any longer, especially from the aspect of we don't have to worry about union workers being paid fairly or getting their benefits. I know a lot of those have been reduced over the years. From your perspective, are unions necessary?
Well, I think you have to look at two different situations. The first off is the private sector. Big corporations, profit-making enterprises. In those situations, I think it's pretty clear that workers should always have the choice, at least, to unionize. Now, whether that means that a union in your particular workplace is the right option is a whole other question. And it's very possible that there are a lot of unions in a lot of companies that have sort of overstayed their usefulness, have outlived their usefulness, and would be better off fading out, at least temporarily. Now, in government, it's a whole other question because you've got a very different employer with very different incentives. And the appropriateness of unions in government is much more questionable.
You know,
because you don't have a company that's looking to maximize profits. You've got an entity that has a pretty much guaranteed revenue stream. They don't have competitors. You don't have a competitor for the police department. You don't really have a competitor in most cases for the public schools. So they don't have the competitive pressures that would lead them to be looking to minimize wages wherever they possibly can that you might have with a private company. You also have an elected government structure. You have a city council or a school board or a legislature that's elected by the people as a whole, rather than a board of directors that's elected solely by shareholders. So there's a lot less. There's a lot more public accountability for a government entity, and that provides with government employees with more opportunity to sort of protect themselves in the political arena. Government employees, because they work with public officials on a pretty regular basis, and they know what's going on in government more than anybody else would, obviously. They have a huge advantage over everybody else in terms of looking out for their interests just through the usual machinery of government. So do we need collective bargaining? Do we need union recognition, mandatory union recognition like we do? That's a whole other question.
You know what's interesting about this? When I ask union officials why workers shouldn't have the option to opt out of paying their dues and being a member of the union, and if they have to negotiate for themselves, so be it. That's their choice. I always get the answer that we need to have all the union members that we can, And it's not fair that they would benefit from our efforts without having to pay for it. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, there's two situations you have to look at. One of them is in government, one of them is in the private sector. Mm-hmm. In government, again, remember, most of what you do, when you're dealing with government employee unions, what you're dealing with is increasingly a political entity more than a workplace entity. MEA just had its new leadership team installed. And if you look at the cover of their publication, which I happen to have sitting right here, I'm looking at it right now, their introduction to the new leadership team is these people are going out and they're soliciting signatures on recall petition. So item number one for the new MEA leadership team, it would appear to be recalling state legislators. This is very political. This isn't about collective bargaining. This isn't even really about wages and benefits. This is about recalling politicians that have pursued an agenda, a political agenda, that MEA is opposed to. Political speech is the most protected speech we have. That's the one area where free speech is at its broadest. And having workers be in a position where they have to pay for political speech is especially problematic in a free society where individuals are supposed to have a right to speak for themselves and have free association rights where they are not obligated to join or support an organization that they aren't that they don't agree with.
All right, interesting. We've been talking with Mackinac Center of Public Policy's Labor Policy Director, Paul Kersey. And before we let you go, Paul, tell us about the panel, The Future of Unionized Government.
Well, we've got a great panel. We've got Dave Massoud, who's an experienced labor lawyer. We've got Barbara Ruga, who is an experienced practitioner who has done a lot of work with school districts. We've got Tom Eaton, who is the chief negotiator for Oakland County and has done a great job of negotiating his way through the collective bargaining process and has put the county in a uniquely sound position financially. Between the three of them, you've got people who have a lot of experience with the bargaining process, who know how it actually works rather than just how it's supposed to work. And can tell us about what I could tell people about what needs to be done, where the system tends to break down.
All right, thanks so much, Paul. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome.